August 10th, 2014, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
station just to meet my baby. She's coming on, coming on to stay today.
But not with Brother Matt. I'm here at Guitar Safari on 6th Street. The shoppy proprietor, Dirk Vandenberg, has allowed me to do another remote broadcast. What's the address?
424
West 6th Street. A lot of good stuff. In fact, some of the good stuff in here now is our guest for today.
Yeah.
San Pedro Slim. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Let's tell the people what we started the show off with. There's some Pedro sounds, an old bus, VW bus. Blues to Elvin, take three, an alternate take. John Coltrane, the classic quartet. After that, Sawako with Nostal Nose and My Baby's Coming Home. San Pedro Slim. So, let's just take it from the beginning when... What's your earliest musical memory?
Kenny Rogers' Greatest Hits. My mother would play it. She'd pick me up from school, and she had the cassette, and it would just play over and over.
How old?
I was probably about 11 or so.
11?
Yeah.
And where?
She'd drive me home. I had to go to a...
What town?
Harbor. I had to go to school in Harbor City because I was getting my ass kicked too much at Dana. Not ass kick. I was just getting, you know.
So you're Pedro born?
I was born in Torrance. We moved here.
Close.
Yeah. But anyway, I was going to school. And
Raoul's like that. He's Torrance.
Yeah. And I was I was messed with this. You know, they picked on you. They didn't have this big bullying thing like they do awareness now.
Okay.
But I do tell a joke in my show. When I do my show, I said, I was picked on mercilessly in school. And then I paused, and the audience is wondering what I said. And I say, the bad thing about it is I was homeschooled. Yeah.
Like with my mom used to be on a Hot Wheel track. And like, you motherfucking son of a bitch. My mom cussed hard. Yeah. And, you know, I knew I was starting to get it together when I started to question that logic. I said, Ma, think about that. But she wasn't in the mood to think about it.
Well, you
So this album, this musical experience.
Well, I mean, Ken Rogers didn't do nothing for me. It was in high school when I started, you know, everything was happening in high school. It was the 80s, so you had all the new wave, the heavy metal and whatever, and the pop radio, and I started to try to play guitar, and I would try to play Police songs. I would have this guy figured out for me, but I couldn't do it because I guess Andy Summers, some of the stuff he did, I didn't know what that was. I couldn't stretch that far.
You didn't try guitar till high school.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I took lessons at Grace.
Did you go to gigs?
No.
As a younger person?
No, I really didn't. You know, I wasn't hip enough to...
Did you listen to the radio?
Yeah, I listened to radio all the time, you know, whatever was on the radio. And then
So music wasn't that big when you were real little?
No. I mean, parents never, you know... there was nothing to do. I lived on an island in Spain for 7 years.
Okay.
My dad wasn't in the service. They just wanted to go... whatever. So over there was nothing. I mean, we didn't have TV for a while. So all I did was kind of just draw pictures. And I mean, there was nothing to do. I mean, today people have iPads. I mean...
They got bands over there today.
Yeah, iPads.
I played with some Spanish bands. What town were you in?
We were on an island in the Baleares called Formentera, which is near Ibiza. Wow. So you're way out there. It was a weird childhood. It wasn't a weird childhood. It was just kind of like, you know...
Different mostly.
When I got back here, you know, I remember... coming back and the TV that Tic Tac Toe was on with Wink Martindale, and I couldn't understand that. And my sister, my brother told me, hey, wait till the weekend. There's this great show called Dukes of Hazzard. And so the whole week I'm thinking,
well, that was bunk too.
Well, but I was thinking Castles and Knights, right? Dukes.
Oh yeah.
And then when it came on, all I saw was a car jumping up and down. So I just, you know, so that was that. But when I got into blues,
a great flag on the top.
Yeah. But then when I got into blues was in high school when I heard...
No, what got you into the Police?
I was listening to whatever pop music was happening. But
you're trying to play it on the guitar.
I was trying to play...
Your guitar or your buddies?
Oh, no, I went to Grace School of Music.
Okay.
And there's a guy there, and he was like... You know,
that's over like by
Leland
Street School?
Yeah, Leland and 20...
Yeah, Ed from Ohio lived above that pad for a couple years.
Really? Well, I went and learned, and I just bring a cassette of what I wanted to learn, and what message in the bottle, who doesn't want to learn that one, right?
Well, you've got the reggae part in the verse, and then the rock and roll part in the chorus, right? Yeah. Didn't they work that hustle for a while?
I just remember having to stretch my fingers, like, 6 frets, and I couldn't do it. No. So,
Nels Klein.
Is that what he does?
You ever seen this guy dancing? You know, the Sonic Youth, he didn't know that they were just tuning those things straight. You know,
so they had an open tuning.
Yeah, but he thought it was, you know, some Spider-Man fingers or something.
No, the way I got into blues was, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Robert Cray were popular. I kind of got
into that. Yeah, where's the leak made for Police?
I was just into guitar. And I was taking, then I took music lessons at this place called A Minor Music Shop. Oh, A Major. A Minor. Yeah. And the guy there was working there, not the owner, but he was talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan. So I said, okay. You know, I was into whatever, you know. Someone tell me something. And I was at the library in San Pedro, and they had one of the records. Yeah, it was Soul to Soul.
You did records. You know, so many people I have on the show tell me about this Check It Out Records.
Yeah, Check Out the Records. It was scratched to death, but it could play. And I got that, and then, you know, sooner or later, I just started reading about in the interviews and guitar player and going a little deeper. So one day I'm down at...
Oh, the Guitar Player magazine.
Yeah. And they had a little plastic record in there. But I went down to Jesse's Records here.
Yeah.
And I walk in, and I see a blues section, and there's like five, six records there, you know, sealed records, you know. And I remember them to this day. I bought them all. Just grabbed them. There was Bobby Blue Bland. There was a Little Junior Parker, Muddy Waters... Little Walter, you know, like a B.B. King one at the Regal or something. And I just grabbed them, took them up there. And there was dust on them, you know, even though they were shrink-wrapped. And she was like, we can order whatever blues you want. Because I guess probably no one touched them. And I'm like, I don't know what
was the
want.
Other record store in Pedro? Vine?
Vines Music.
Redwood.
Yeah, Vines Music.
That Redwood. Redwood.
That was down that
Pacific.
Way.
Yeah, Redwood.
Redwood.
And, of course, in Park Plaza, there was Chuck Sound of Music. That's where Music.
Yeah, I don't.
Moved.
That's where Music. Redwood, moved. Though. I remember going.
It was in two places. It was First Pacific, then it was on Western.
Yeah, once. It was a pizza place now, but they had a. My sister went there to buy a record, and I went with her, and I remember the record. It was the one with Rick Springfield with a dog on the cover. You know, like that's kind of cool record cover. I don't know who Rick, you know, Rick Springfield was, and
you bought it.
She bought it. Oh. I didn't buy it. I didn't. You know.
You weren't into that.
I didn't. You know, I just thought it was cool that they had a dog with a suit on or a shirt and tie.
So you get these six. These five blues records right from Jesse's here.
Yeah.
And you take them home. Yeah. Start playing it.
I just started listening to it, and I just was like...
playing it. I mean, playing
yeah,
the records.
Yeah. And then Howlin' Wolf, and it was just kind of like... It was just
a big leap. I mean, from
was,
Police
yeah.
to Stevie Ray Vaughan, but then Stevie Ray Vaughan
yeah,
to this.
This was just thing, and then I just kind of like... I got into it.
Are you still in high school at this time?
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably graduate. I'm probably going to... I went to Harvard College, and then I was really into it. So it was before I went to Harvard College, and I'd pick up my friend, because I had a car he didn't, and I'd just have all these cassettes, John Lee Hooker, Gate Mouth Brown, and the poor guy had to listen to him because I was driving, but he never complained too much, but... I was just hooked. I
really
just,
had the bug bit you.
I worked...
Okay, let's hear some music.
All right.
Thank you. My weekend wrench unwedges my eyes. Free flows my mind. Piano-like strata down the edge of the side of the mountain. A tiny avalanche as it sounds muffled and extreme, but we all hear it just the same. And then the clouds roll over in seething cascades of finger hair and detritus falling off of trees. Nothing so pretty as the green wind caressing my song, teeming me with long days of love. Here we go on over the sea, underneath, sideways, between the molecules. I caught a glimpse once upon a time of the dinosaur's dolphin face. Jelly-like was he in his extremes. Terribly elbow me in the side of the face that one day. I heard chemical directions been pouring off the freeway. The cars were honking. It was a conflagration of semi-contained interest. The rest of it was broadcast on TV. Lots of guys watching on the wristwatch. And then somebody in the bathroom. Sat on the bench. Wrestled with the wrench, complained about the stench, said, "Where's my wench?" Dutifully blanched, and then he pinched. He flinched once or twice, and then he ensconced up on the wall, held back there by super glue of light and tiny clouds sucking backwards. Through the air, they had tendrils of super monofilament made of less than noise and air. We could see it only under amphibious anthralite. Glowing in your face like the sound of never it was. Spaceships were coming in just for the view. Orange mountains rocketed and rolled away in the distance, spiky purple, black, and orange. Could see goats jumping off, making spider webs of goat beads. Sometimes it would crack it open, having an avalanche like it was time to come home. Sword face, we pole vaulted across that range, purples, yellows, and blacks, all swindling below us with fire dragons between. Carefully, Fahrenheit was coming up underneath us, bowing our steps like boing. Aloft we went. Flares of fire wing feathering below us. The mountains, purple, black, and yellow, melted like crayons into the void. Several times, we were annoyed, but that's just the American way. Flying high in the sky, we would ride. Over and under, sometimes inside. Carefully, we would witness every event that took place under the microscope or by public broadcast. Turn cards they were. Jack, ace, spade, and rock and roll. Rolling down, rising up. Rolling around, wising up. Careful to play pinball with your mind. Several times you don't even know where the buttons on either side of your head are coming up from beneath you. Faster than a rocket, but slower than a frog's thought. Bubbling between, they came under the limnus. Water was filling our every sound with hunger that awoke. We were stung, then broke, and sometimes we even croaked. Because we had that frog adrenaline coursing through our mind's eye, I all of a sudden heard the collies come howling over the hills, grass whooshing through their fetlocks. Bounding away they were, wet and blocking a face only a mother dog could love, lupine in its action. The clouds purple loomed overhead, bowing down like gods were worshiping the dogs that day, and sideways blue between my mind, I felt a lick of wetness that told me, "Wake up, boy, wake up, it's time to heed the flower. Destroy all the flowers, son, every one of them. Now is the time to break them, undo their greenery and beautiful kaleidoscope of rainbow-colored petals that they display. The variation six, triad, diamond, heart shape, every one of them is time to be gone, away from this here realm. Singing its song, echoing away to eternity. Careful now. Don't leave one behind. Use the scraper. The breaker. Use the shaker. Use the flaper. Don all the sawing, gnawing, biting, hammering, and bashing equipment you can. Put them to machines. Power them with nuclear energy. And have robot computers tell them what to do. Multiply like maggots on the face of a diode, they would. Careful, because there ain't no raid. There ain't no way, there's no way their siege of chemical or thought will make them go away. Here they are. Here they come. One and all, join the fun!
obstacles like the defiance. The horizon is hollow. The air is danger. The air is shallow.
Show.
A long story.
We just heard Beans and Comrades doing Rails. Wow, that's kind of weird to say. And before that, Kyoka with Mind the Gap, Bromide from Peer Group ahead of that, Networking in Purgatory by Ned Collette and Wire Walker. Before that, a hidden track, I don't know the name. Mm. Now you can do that?
Yeah.
Well, this cat did it, Mr. Tom.
Cool.
Allegheny Whitefish. So it goes by tobacco. Allegheny Whitefish, they told me, was used condom in the river. Damn. The Allegheny River.
Ouch.
Okay, when he was a boy. Zero Population Growth Now by Sam Sebrin. Head of that, a poem by Chris Kroger. Destroy All the Flowers. He's out of Austin. Sterile Jets with Little Billy Toilet. In front of that, and we started off with You'll Have to Wait by San Pedro Slim. So we get back to the story. We're in the car with your buddy.
Yeah, he didn't complain too much, but I just was into it big time and got into it. And there was a...
Did you start playing your guitar to this music?
Yeah, a little bit. I did a little bit of that, but I was listening to John Lee Hooker and some of the Chess stuff in the 50s, and the tone, it was just... it was amazing tone, and his playing style was really hard for me to do. So, but I tried to play along the best I could. You know, I didn't.
What about singing along?
Singing started a little later.
What about harp?
Well, the harp started when I heard Little Walter, and I went up and got the harp, but unfortunately, I got the wrong key.
But I thought Little Walter was in that first batch of records.
He was, but it wasn't until a while after, okay. Because all my friends played guitar.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd be different and play harmonica.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of, you know, and so that's why I started that, and I just
Fogarty, he'd whip out the harp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was some guitar players who twofered it.
Bobby Dylan.
Well, yeah, with a rack even.
And then I met.
I think Fogarty never did that. He just whipped it out and stopped playing the guitar.
And then I met a guy. I wanted to play this music, but I didn't know anyone. And I put an ad in a recycler, which is like today. That's Craigslist. That's all that Craigslist is a digital version of the recycle.
Yeah.
So I, but this older guy.
Oh, you mean you really want to start a band?
I just want to play with some people wanted to do this.
And instead of man alone.
Yeah. This was an older guy, and he was real cool, and he says, well, you know, why don't we go down to Lamar's Records, you know? And I'm like, well, what's Lamar's Records? And he goes, what's the record shop in Long Beach? This guy, Gil Duarte, owned. The nickname was Lamar. So I went down there and picked up some records. And he wanted me to pick up this one by William Clark because he said, I have the other one. I didn't know who William Clark was, but he was my buddy, so I'll buy it, you know.
It's true.
Trust, you know. So we go over to his house and he puts it on. I'm going, like, wow, this guy's playing like that old music, but today. And he says, so yeah, he plays at the Starboard Attitude on the Redondo Beach Pier.
Oh, so this ain't an old record. This is a contemporary record with the old style.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay. And he says, well, we got to go see him. And I said, well, I got to wait till I turn 21 because I didn't have a fake ID and I didn't look old enough. So we went to see it, and it was the Truxton?
No, Pedro
Biker Gang.
Log pipes save lives, you know.
So, is that right?
So I
found out there was a scene, although I was very young, so I got into going to see these guys, you know, and it was just like, it was a great time. It has since declined, the scene that was, I think, the late 80s, early 90s, where there was a circuit and these guys were doing it, and they were like, so I'd go see these guys, and it was, that's what I wanted to do. But I was just learning.
I went to a lot of those shows, too, at that place.
Yeah,
it was really fun to go there.
Yeah. And then I went to see this guy, James Harmon, who I got into him. I saw him at the...
Hodge used to play drums.
Yeah. And that was... I saw him at the Bogart's, it was called, in Long Beach.
Yeah, Long Beach. I played there like 30 times.
Yeah, at the Pacifica Mall. Or
right, it was in the strip mall.
So that was kind of like...
Next to Barwinkle's.
Yeah.
Across the road, because it was on PCH, was Live Bait. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What a name for a pad. But so I saw you're seeing these gigs, these cats, older guys, doing the thing.
And I thought to myself, I'll try to do it. But I had done a gig at Spank. It was called Between Rounds at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's Al-Anon.
So I played, I played there, and I had a little band put together. And then
was that your first band?
Yeah, it was just some guys we got together. And, you know, I called the band San Pedro Slim and the Night Dwellers. And the guy who did the banner was this old guy, right? And they'd give him wine to do it. He was a real good sign artist. But I get there, and I see the sign.
Who's in the band?
Just some guys.
Yeah,
some guys from AA. No, they were, you know, guys that I've met through this older guy. And
oh, you didn't really know
them? Well, I knew them, but they weren't anybody. I can't remember a lot of their names. But,
yeah, okay.
You know, but then I had a...
They're really important people in your life.
You know, I don't mean to...
They're in your first band.
You know, we would do, you know, it was just a gig. That was my first paying gig.
Yeah.
And then I got...
What
I
about
got,
the banner?
He put Night Dwellers with a K... And the night, you know, like...
So, nice.
I'm like, you know...
Wrong kind.
And he had misspelled San Pedro Slim.
How did he misspell that?
Well, because whoever wrote it on a napkin...
Yeah.
That it looked like San Pedro Slum. But he fixed it with a piece of paper, you know. So it was So, but, you know, hey, this is a kick-ass banner. I don't know how much wine they gave him. I know it was cheap shit that he was drinking, so... anyway... That guy's name was Sam. I don't remember anybody in the band, but I remember the wino.
What was the gig like?
It was fun. It was just like, you know, because I wasn't jaded at that point. And so to me it was, wow, you know, this is really, you know, this is really cool. And we'd rehearse these songs. And then later I met a guy who was playing with Wim Clark. He just left the band. His name was Rick Holmstrom. He now plays for Mavis Staples.
Hodges in that band.
Well, here's the story. We're going to tie Hodges into everything. I'm playing...
Hodges on my first album.
No, I know. So Holmstrom says, let me get the rhythm section, because we played with some guys I got, and Holmstrom was, let me get the rhythm section. So, okay. So I show up at Spanky's or whatever it's called, and I'm sitting there, and...
It's called the Heidi Ho in the old days.
Yeah, and Three Pigs, or Three... I don't know what it is.
Between Rounds?
Yeah, that was the guy, you know... The guy was a prize fighter, and his brother owned it.
Oh,
it was his trainer.
I didn't know.
Yeah, and the guy, the fighter, would throw everybody out at the end of the night. So, head first, a little backwards.
And, some toss?
Yeah, headbutt. Anyway, so Holmstrom, you know, the first guy shows up is Tyler Pedersen. He's kind of like a guy who's been on a lot of the West Coast of that kind of record. And then in walks Hodges.
Maybe dance, because Hodges teaches dancing, too.
I didn't, well, he comes in with his big-ass bass drum. I get, yeah. You know, and I know from the Harmon records and from the Hollywood Fats band records.
Yeah, yeah, right. He
was just, so I was like, oh, my God, you know, and I didn't even know about the Tom Waits stuff. I don't know if he'd done it at that point. Maybe he did or didn't. He probably did, because this was 91.
Oh, yeah,
92.
He did.
So anyway, and so I fucking play with these guys, and it was like,
now, what are you doing? You like covers?
I was harming. Well, I was doing like blues. With a couple covers in there. And I have a recording of that. And it's kind of funny because
this is second gig at Bogart's.
At Spanky's.
Oh, Spanky's, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I'd played gigs at parties before, but, you know, second bar gig or,
yeah,
I think, around there. And second or third. And I have a CD or cassette of it, and but it's really cool because the band sounds really good. Except me. I sound...
Because you're starting.
Yeah, I mean, I had the desire, and it's not awful. But some of the harmonica stuff is like, you know, I mean, it's just, my friend Rick, Holmes from the guitar player, says, you know what, if that ever came out, it wouldn't bother me because the band sounded so good on it. And maybe I'm being hard on myself, but look what I'm 21, and these guys are like, on all the records I was listening to.
Right, right. You know, so. That's a fortunate situation, though.
Well, yeah, and it just kind of...
Talk about a classroom.
There's... Hodges is... I mean, he's playing on this. I mean, it was just... I listen to that stuff, and I'm like, wow, you know, that I wish I was better or further along, because, you know...
Now, you were where you were.
I mean, I wasn't
okay,
awful.
So what after that, what...
Well, then Rick Holmstrom, we played some gigs together, and then I started playing out with different guys, and Rick's like, you know, why don't we go and make a demo of you? You know, we do this straight blues stuff, but you got these lyrics, so why don't we go in? And so we went into Pacifica Studios, which is in Culver City, Glenn Nishida's studio. So we do it, and we get quite a bit down.
Is that same band?
No, it was, who was on, it was this guy, Steve McGallion, this drummer, we had a piano player, Tom Mann, who, from San Diego, and then Tyler, an upright, and we did a bunch of songs, we did about 11.
We had Charlie Guitar.
Yeah, and then later, nothing happened with it. I still have the analog tapes. Well, it later became Another Night on the Town, my first record. But what that was a combination, because that was done in 93, and then I got with this guy, Henry Carvajal, this guitar player, and we had a band, so that was the kind of the second part of the record.
Okay.
So, but we had Rick play on it too, so it kind of works for two different sessions. And then,
how far apart were the sessions?
3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Yeah, and I got it. I was on a plane to Spain, in the rain. No. And I saw these rockabilly guys in there, you know, and I was like, wow. Yeah.
On the plane.
Yeah, and I'm like, these guys must be in a band because I saw the upright bass in the airport. And so I was talking to one of the guys. And they were going to the Canary Islands to play a gig. Their name was High Noon. They were from Austin. Kind of a rock. I'm not a rockabilly guy, but yeah, I was talking to him about the roots music thing. And he says, you know, told him I'd record some stuff. He says, we should try to get it out in Europe because they're small guys who will put it out. And, you know.
So yeah, there's a scene there.
You know, so I ended up contacting this one label I got off the back of a CD. At first he was interested, and then he said, well, I don't really put out too many releases, but I'll send a copy to my distributor, and he ends up calling me, and so we put it out in Holland, and on a Dutch label called Tramp, and then put it out, and then the following year I went over there and did
first tour.
Yeah, I did five countries, 3.5 weeks with European guys, and it was cool. The only problem I had with them, because they know all the type of music, the only problem I had with them is we'd get on the van, and I'd start talking to them in English, and all of a sudden it would just switch over to Dutch in like five minutes, and I'm just sitting there, you know.
Dutch dudes are pretty good with English,
cool.
Though.
Yeah, they all know
so
it.
They were doing that on purpose.
No, they just maybe they want to talk to me.
You know,
my ass up.
My experience is Dutch dudes can do English pretty good.
Yeah, they all can. I mean,
Scandinavia, real good. A lot of Europe does, but in the older days, some countries were more behind, but not the Dutch.
I go out on my days off, and I didn't know this at first, and I went to the store, and I said, I wanted some shaving cream, you know, and some razors, and so I'm going, and I'm like, I can't find it. And I go up to this guy, and he's like, blah, 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 in Dutch, and I'm like, you know, mimicking shaving, you know. And he's like, well, you want some shaving stuff? You know, in English, it's like, oh. I was so out of place there, you know. But
look, we're at the end of the first hour, right. August 10th, 2014 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Our guest, San Pedro Slim. Hold tight for hour two. August 10th, 2014, the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Well, now, first she started drinking beer, then she switched to wine. She drank up all hers, now she's looking straight at mine. I wonder why. Why is your woman always drunk? Well, it must take you 2 full-time jobs just to keep her liquor all stocked up. Well, I saw the woman at a party down in Point Firm. She was stumbling around, looked like she got hit by George Foreman. I wonder why. Why is your woman always drunk? It must take you 2 full-time jobs just to keep her liquor all stocked up.
clock is where you're going. Out of the slip stream, dive down deep into ocean sea. The dream came loose in the sea, you come to choose. Dive down here for the treasure that you fear is sinking. I'll rise in the sun, the key is in your hands, in your hands.
I need to feel the blood.
Watt for Pedro show. Started the second hour off with San Pedro Slim. Why is your woman drunk all the time?
Oh, he's drunk.
Oh, yeah. Why is your woman always drunk?
I just want to make sure when BMI...
See, I didn't see the list, and I was just
trying BMI sends me the
right
check.
By the fucking hip.
It's all right. It doesn't matter. It's a long time.
Then we had from Cuz Slipstream. You know about Cuz?
No.
Cuz is something I couldn't have done in the old... I'm part of this project. Oh. I couldn't have done it in the old days, because in the old days you had to, like, get in the same room, wait another 3 years, maybe. Mm. But nowadays we can trade files over the internet, and that's how this project is. I was just in England last week.
Where in England were you?
Manchester on the BBC, XFM in London, and then Brighton with Bowlegs. And that was invited to do sessions with this guy, Brother Sam Duke, and Cuz is the name of the band. In fact, I got the name from a Richard Hale fanzine, poetry. He called it Cuz. And but the way I was thinking about it was, that wise aphorism. Why does a dog lick its balls?
As it can.
So why did we do
fire,
this?
Fire hose from a Bob Dylan song.
Why we do this project? Because we could. The technology came and didn't solve the creativity problem. I hope that never does.
Technology is a... we can go on about that, but this is the wrong show.
But for this, for trading files, it was okay.
Well, you would have told me years ago when I was working at the warehouse renting out videos that there'd be a red box outside a supermarket you could get your movies out. Or
two red boxes out in front of the 7-Eleven.
Oh, it's hard to find certain films that I
But like. That's not as creative. That's like consuming. This is actually trading files.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not trying to say that you're like red box.
And even with us both in Pedro, we could still be trading files.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be better to get in the same room. One day I would like to play.
I would love to. That'd be great.
I have to learn the blues better.
I have to learn something.
I used in my third opera a good blues lick that was influenced by hearing Your Night on the Town.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, then we heard Bowlegged Man by Clowns. They're a Brighton band. So is Sea Dog with Transmitter. And also Latine with Sallow Tree. Sallow. We don't use that word too much over here.
Right? No.
Back to the story. You've recorded your first album.
Right.
It comes out in Holland. You've done a Europe tour.
Yeah. Come back home. Wanted Mexican food real bad. I just remember that.
Yeah,
one
me
thing,
too.
That's one thing I couldn't deal with over there. You know, I need some carnitas or something. But got back.
Speaking of carnitas, you know right down here?
Which one?
This Guanajuatos. Oh. It's a...
On the right.
It says the butcher is
Sierra. Maria.
But you got a little counter in the back.
Right.
And they make some.
I'll check that out.
Wednesdays are on sale.
Oh, well.
The burritos. They're guys. Mezcales.
It's not only. It's an informative show.
Yeah. Not, you're in Pedro.
Not just.
Fuck that Yelp shit.
But so I came back, but then I got a day job because I just needed to get the day job going.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting a day job and. So did that for a while. So I went from 1997 when the first record came out. I put out another record called Bar Hoppin', which came out in 2008. So I had that big period of, which was a mistake.
Wilderness years.
Yeah, but it was a mistake in the sense that I should have probably after another out of town a couple of years later done another one.
Yeah.
But at that time I was just happy to have a steady paycheck. So I did that. And then, so 2008 that comes out. I still have my day job. I'm not going anywhere. I get an email from a festival.
Oh, is that what you were talking about? You draw?
Yeah, do drawings. Yeah, what's the lightest one? The one room, whatever the hell. I did those drawings on the back and the inside. I don't know what my style is because my favorite art tool is a Sharpie.
Yeah.
But
you cut shit out? No, marker.
No, I just mark on that. Bring in Photoshop. Yeah. But I really, on Bar Hoppin', I did the artwork on that too, which if you look at it, it looks like Harold's, the guy.
Yeah, the guy sitting at the bar.
Well, it looks like the background because that's.
Harold's place is a.
Pedro, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's
since when? Early 50s, right?
Yeah, it's a good sounding room. I've played there. It's a pretty good sound. Maybe it's all the old wood for what we've done. I mean, you know.
Did you tend bar there too?
I tended bar. I worked at 5:45 in the morning. I'd come in and clean the toilets and mop it. And then I let people in, but a lot of people didn't. There was a couple guys who would drink, but most of them were just having coffee before they went to work at the docks or the Shell station. But anyway, I do these drawings, and in fact, I like that Raymond Pettibon stuff really a lot. He's great, of course.
Raymond.
Yeah, I don't have. I saw his books on Amazon, but they go for a lot of money.
No, Durka ended up on a project.
Yeah, he's great.
Called Super Session, and then one with me and him called Sock Tight.
Ah, I love it.
So you like it, yeah?
Yeah, I've been doing my illustrations. I do blues artists. I've done John Lee Hooker, Lightnin' Hopkins, Muddy Waters, several others, and I just put them on Facebook. And then people wanted to buy them that were fans of them, so I ended up started selling them and T-shirts. And I'm doing a book right now of illustrations. And I don't want to use the word poems, but I just call it narratives.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing this book, but I don't know where that's going to go. It's just another thing.
But anyway, you were doing this in these wilderness years. You were doing the artwork.
You know, I didn't
think it was creative. You did a great job, but it's still creative.
Yeah, no. I still play gigs. I still played locally. It wasn't like I quit.
But you didn't do any recording until 2008.
Actually, I did it in 2002. It took that long. It was the hardest recording experience I had. It wasn't the two sessions of the initial music went fine, but then we had to leave the studio because the guy was going to put it on his label, but then he didn't want it. But he said, you know what, you can keep it. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool because I got free studio time and I get to keep the hard drive. It was a Mackie hard drive, the first record I did on analog. But that did this one on the hard drive. Then I had to figure out how to get that to Pacifica, and then there was all these issues, and it was just like this, and
because early days of digital.
And it was, this Mackie hard drive, which, and then this guy, well, I gotta go.
You know what the other word for that is? Crappy.
Yeah, well, anyway, so I ended up having all these guys, you know. And
issues.
But anyway, it came out, and then a couple years later, I get an email, and I thought it was a joke. This guy from the Piazza Blues Festival in Switzerland wants me to
book
it.
You.
Well, he did it, and then I hear back from him, and I get another one the following year. I'm like, okay, and I look up the festival, and it's a legitimate, cool festival. So finally, we get in touch. He said, yeah, I want to have you over. I want you to put a band together. So I put a band together, and they flew us over, paid it. You know, it was in Bellinzona, Switzerland. Bellinzona is like the southern part, it's like Italian more bass. But,
Lugano.
I'm going to go on the festival, and so this is really cool for me because anyway, get it all, and my mother, who's living in Spain, and my brother at the time, so they're going to come up and see me. So my mother's never seen me play before, because she had moved.
Then we got, hold on, let's play some music to get back to this story, because this is intense.
Yeah.
other neighbor. Acting like you haven't heard. Oh, but little girl, you ain't never had it so.
Lost your jaw. forget, forgive you. Why shirt yourself a hole through eight, super H, eight, eight. Go clapping, go clapping, go clapping. Your children will never forget you, forgive you. For your monomaniacal fantasy figure and shirt, shit, do you fall often out that way? Read, nervous dispatch, out of fantasy stray. I've learned, unlearned, magical flashes in a flapping arrest, egocentrical bashes, and extra go clapping, it's clapping. Your children never forget you, forgive you, forget you, for go. Hysterical, fall through age, super age, age, with laughing at children, never, never, ever forget you. It's clapping, it's clapping.
Clapping, 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 cl
You heard Crying Hard Luck, San Pedro Slim. After that, The Dwarves, brand new, Irresistible. Aaron Oppenheim with 11th. Raging Bull by Cinema Cinema, that's new too. Dolly Boy, the 2014 version from Super Fast Girly Show. That's a two bass and drum band from Liverpool there. So.
I'd like to hear
Colt that. Clappin from Skills 7 Stamina 12. And Pothole Roads by Devin Gary and Ross. That Gary is Gary Panner, if you know about Jimbo. You are going to hear it.
Yeah,
now let's look. Your ma's going to come see you for the first time in Switzerland.
My brother, yeah. My,
and your brother.
Yeah, but my mom says, we get there, we meet him up in town, and, my mom was all nervous, you know. And I'm like, what's wrong, Mom? She goes, oh, I'm just nervous. And she goes, I said, what? Well, you don't have to sing tonight, you know. But, it's a cool festival, and, she saw it, and that was the best I've been treated ever in my life in the music thing, or ever, yeah. You know. And they took care of everything, the rooms for...
Assistant Hair Tech?
No, I mean, we didn't, it's not, okay, maybe, you know, I'm not, it's not Royal Albert Hall, Okay, but I have, you know,
I got to play there once. I had to wait 8 hours upstairs in one of them little cells to play Carmen in a Louis Vuitton suit. Swipe my balls. It was an experience, man. I didn't mean to hide you.
No, my experience wasn't that.
This was a trip.
We had you know, they treated them real good. My mom's thought, and she.
Oh, they're treating also your guests, your mom, and your brother.
Everybody, free food for every, you know, and the hospitality. And then, you know, my mom was, you know, it was really cool to have her see me at the best thing I've ever done. And then I was hoping she wouldn't get this idea that this is how I get treated all the time. But I didn't want to tell her that, because if she knew how I was treated in L.A. playing gig, she'd have me move back with her. They're not treating you like this, you know. But, you know, hell, I didn't want to destroy the image, you know. Of course, your mom's always going to be your big fan, whether there would have been two people there. But anyway.
My mom at the Little League games yelling in all the wrong parts.
Yeah, you know, the things they do for us.
Mom struck out, you ain't supposed to be cheering.
Well, you know, it was cool. I don't like to fly, though. I know you're probably used to it.
I ain't into it.
I took a Xanax.
Metal tube, breathing farts for hours and hours.
Yeah, I don't like the plane.
But, you know, until they build a freeway, I guess.
Well, I had a bad experience on the way to this trip. My suitcase broke. I bought this used suitcase, and the harmonicas went all over the place, and there's a line behind me.
Oh, no.
It's 7:06 in the morning, and I'm picking up the harmonicas and stuff. And, but... What the fuck?
You live to tell the tale.
I'm, you know, but everything's good. I mean, now I'm just, don't know, I did this newest record. I'd like to go record again, but unfortunately I can't afford to. But I don't, the way I do songwriting with the lyrics, obviously it's blues and stuff, and I kind of want to expand to different things. But I write on pieces of paper, and it's in my mind, and I write out titles and scribble it, so I don't really put the lyrics together until I have a session, because I'm wasting time.
Let's get more into that. We're at the end of the second hour, August 10th, 2014. This is your Watt for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three. August 10th, 2014. It's the third hour.
Watt from Pedro show.
My heart feels good. flowers in time, bend towards the sun. I know you say that there's no one for you, but there is one. Oh, flowers in time, bend towards the sun. I know you say that there's no one for you, but there is one. But there is one.
To be angry, but not to. fucking climbers over there.
Right.
Watch from Pedro show. We started the third hour out with some San Pedro Slim. With some day I won't care, but these days you do care.
I'm deeply into nothingness.
No. Okay,
is that my? But the album's concept is apartments and living in apartments, and I've lived in apartments. And I was living on 26th and Carolina
Street. I'm an
apartment
man too.
26th and Carolina Street.
Yeah,
I think they're remodeling.
They should live near there.
Well, it's near a cemetery, and my wife didn't really particularly like that, but I said it'd be quiet.
Harborview, that's our first one.
Yeah, and then
you
knock,
can't see the harbor.
A knock on the door, and this lady by the way is like, my man's beating me. Can you let me use the phone? And so I slammed the door in her face, look out the window, and he caught up with her. No, actually, I let her in. My father-in-law was visiting, and this is going down.
Whoa.
And I'm like, and he barely knows me, and I let her use the phone, and he's like, make her wait outside. If this guy comes, we don't. So she goes outside, and then we're sitting there, and my father-in-law says, what's that place you like? Harold's Club. And I'm like, oh, yeah, down the street. Let's go now. So we bail, and I don't know what happened to her. And then I lived at the, earlier on.
I went to look at an apartment, and I thought I was having flashbacks. Trails, but it was fleas jumping from the lady's eyebrows trying to get on me.
I lived at the Samoan Sea for a while.
D. Boone's Pop did for a few months.
Oh, man. How do you sleep with all the big rigs going on?
Oh, Georgie lived on Bonita right by there. You hear him thumping. Okay, All Flowers in Time, Bend Towards the Sun by Jeff Buckley and Elizabeth Frazier. That's via you, Mr. Dirt.
Like
Rewild from, the song's S-O-U-L by Rewild. Rewild's these Italian guys that are in London now. Mm. They moved there to make it. Balls out. La Playa by Bon Bon, they're a Pedro band. El Frio, Chicano Batman, they played here. They're a bitchin' band. Sands Poured by Sandbox, that's got Jack Brewer from Wilmington, who's now in Long Beach. Finally, Blood and Shaving Cream by Death Samantha, that's John Pekovich in Cleveland. So, since the album theme is apartments.
Yeah.
Because I want to get into your songwriting style, so you use real life experiences.
Yeah, most of it's like there's a song on here talking about that last story called talking about my neighbors where I go, the guy to the left is a stone cold jerk. I don't mind you beating your wife, but can you wait till I go to work? Which is kind of cold blooded, but it's kind of funny because it's not that it's offended that he's beating his wife. Is that I can't sleep. I lived in an apartment in Costa Mesa.
You didn't feel bad for his wife?
Well, I didn't really hear them beating each other. Some of it's a little... Sometimes
beating each other. That's a little different.
Well, okay. But, you know, it's like maybe they enjoy it. I don't know. But the...
Maybe they don't.
I lived in this apartment complex in Costa Mesa.
Yeah, Orange County.
Oh, yeah. And and the places were so close together.
Yeah.
And the people upstairs were just always up, and there was this rolling sound, like they were rolling a cue ball across the floor. But I don't know what it was. And I remember they'd have their fans going all the time in the bathroom, like all the time. And I'm like, I hadn't slept for 3 days, and I thought, damn, why do they have the fans when are they making like meth or something? Not that I know anything about meth or manufacturing or anything. I don't know anything about that. But my thing was like, I was so sleep deprived that I was coming up with this shit. And then one time, me and my wife are talking about it, and she kind of came up with the same idea. And I said, I knew it! But we never knew it. And it probably never happened. But the whole stress about living that close, these walls were very thin, and that the girls next door, must be youngers, were playing hip hop all day.
Yeah.
They're like, for 8 hours on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we just broke the lease. Well, my wife emailed.
So maybe music's an outlet to get these things.
It's either that or therapy.
Speaking of therapy, let's hear Pay or Quit.
Thank you. down this wall and the silence that it holds. Tear down this wall and the lies that are told. Tear down this wall of criminal deceit. Tear down this wall so the people can be free. Tear it down. Tear down. Tear down. Tear it down. You gotta tear down these walls. Tear down this prison and the hatred that it brings. Tear down this jail and the torture that it sends. Tear down this crime, let justice ring. Tear down the secrets and convict those who defend. Tear it down. Tear it down. Tear it down. Tear it down, down. You gotta tear down these walls so that people can see. Desk, you let others go to war. Sold off this country like some street walking whore. You hide behind your symbols, you hide behind your lies. Hey, you never were elected, and for this we despise you. Tear it down. Oh, tear it down. Tear it down, down, down. You gotta tear down these walls so that people can see. Tear down these walls of secrecy. Tear down these walls so the people can be free. Tear it down. Tear it down.
If you're in a band and you're up on stage just rocking out, living the fucking dream, and you look down and see me on my phone texting, you may be discouraged and think, "Oh man, that guy's not into my band." Please keep in mind, I am an adept multitasker, and I'm probably not that into your band.
timeless words exemplified. The listener wanted to be stronger.
Watford Pedro Show, our last music for today's edition, San Pedro Slim with Pay or Quit, Note from the Landlord. After that was Tear Down This Wall by James Preston Allen, Canon number 18 by Adagiato by Hobo Combo, had to get that in there, Text Into Your Band by Bob Schreiner, Blood Muscle Bones by Street Eaters, I got to play with them Wednesday. Bassman, three different amps. Too much to carry for what?
Yeah.
All Peavy.
Nice.
And Sax Death, something live out of Tokyo by the Dirty Pigs.
Oh.
Which is the Dirty Beaches mixed with pigs, is what I was enlightened. And then finally, Tunnel Rat with Timeless Words. Speaking of timeless words, San Pedro Slim here giving us the rundown on his music journey. Now, next chapter coming up in music?
I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know.
You were talking about maybe exploring different musics?
Well, I like some, not like, you know, like a big jump, but some of the stuff, I guess you could categorize it as some of that Memphis soul stuff that came out. Not that I have the voice to carry it. I'm not saying I'm do that. I'm not going to be
Howard Tate or
who's the guy who sang at the Dark End of the Street? What was his name? Not Percy Sledge, who covered it. Anyway, and I don't know how to. I don't know music theory. I don't know how to put chords together.
Yeah.
So like, I write lyrics to what's something I kind of like. You know, like on my last record, I used more electric bass than upright, like on the previous one before that, just because I liked it, would lend itself to the song. There's a song called apartment song, and so, but that's still one for five. I just want to see if I can just bluesy related stuff. No, I'm not going to go make a
who's the blues writer on the bass? Willie Dixon.
Yeah, Willie was I went to his house once.
Brother Matt told me he went to his house.
I never met him, though. I met Marie, his wife.
Okay. Brother Matt said he opened up a drawer that had a buttload of songs. He said, I never recorded any of these.
No. I'll take them. No.
Can you imagine
that? Could you imagine that? No, I went up there. A friend of mine was a printing broker doing printing for Blues Heaven Foundation, and I met Marie. And, you know, I'm there in this house in Burbank. It's not the biggest, but nice, but not, you know, like you just, you know, someone that royalties come in, but she was real nice, and I just was like, felt like I was in a shrine. I couldn't even speak, and I just told her. I said, oh, Marie, I would have liked to have met Willie, and she says to me, he would have liked to have met you. And I'm like,
shit, the hell you say? No, really.
What do you think about the state of blues these days?
It's declined big time. It became popular in the sense, not huge, but it became popular to the point where it just. There was just a lot of people doing it on the small scene because bars were hiring it. For some reason, they thought it was hip, I don't know, or it was popular. Nowadays, you used to be able to play in Long Beach several times. We used to play like 8 times a month in Long Beach and play in Orange County. And now, you play. I mean, I got a couple of shows coming up. One's a benefit for Blue Star Kids, Music Therapy.
Yeah.
I'm doing that at Malarkey's and a bunch of bands. And then I'm going up to do Kern River Festival. There's a festival up there. But other than that, I don't really have nothing going on. I mean,
if somebody wanted some advice from you, what would you give them regarding music?
I often tell people when I play, if I remember playing, sometimes I play things where there's kids, and I always tell the kids, do good in school, stay in school, or this might happen to you. It's a public service announcement. I want to do a Scared Straight. Remember Scared Straight, how they tell the inmates, get in their face? But I want to do it with the blues. I want to say, you want to live in your car? You want to wear dirty clothes like this?
And get into music?
Yeah, don't do this.
Okay.
And then, no, not, if you don't want this, you know, and then, you know how there's always that one tough kid?
Yeah.
I'd have a backup friend musician, and I'd say, I can't deal with this. And the other guy would rush in on him and start yelling at him. And so, but no, I don't know about, I mean, you do music, it kind of chooses you, I guess, or whatever. Is that corny
That's
enough?
That's what you tell? Like,
I don't have any advice at all.
Music, you would tell...
I talk to Mike Watt is what I tell him. Because I don't know what... I just kind of wanted to do this, and...
I just thought...
I don't know.
Maybe something came out of all this long journey. We're talking about...
20 years or more.
Almost 25.
I've been... Yeah, it's been a long time.
So, and you would have nothing to hand down to a young person. Except, like, watch out.
Yeah, I don't have. I don't know.
I think be careful is good advice.
I
need to have a plan B.
I don't know. Just you try to get paid. I mean, that's the way try to get paid something. I mean, you know. I you know what? I'll play clubs for free and bars for free when they give the booze away for free.
Okay. So tell the kids that.
So I don't think I should talk to any kids.
Sage advice.
Yeah, I don't. I'll be better than that next time. No negativity.
It's been the August 10th, 2014 edition of the Walk for Pedro Show, people. Keep your powder dry.